Evening, take your Bibles, remain standing. Colossians chapter number 3 this evening. Colossians chapter number 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We'll begin reading in verse number 17. You'll join me on verse 18. We'll read like that responsively all the way through verse number 25. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 this evening. I'll begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible says this: "And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord Jesus received the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ." Let's finish on verse number 25 together. "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There is no respect of persons." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this evening I'm reminded of what a privilege it is to be called a Christian. Lord, as much of a privilege as it is, there's even a greater responsibility. Lord, you've called us to live differently. You've called us to act differently. Lord, there's an important responsibility that you've given us as individuals. And this evening, as we hear the word of God being preached, I'd ask that you would show us, Lord, how we can be better testimonies for you, how we can do more for you. Lord, use the word of God in our hearts this evening. We'll yield ourselves to you as we listen to the word of God being preached. We'll ask that you lift up the word of God and you'll fill our pastor with the Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. And we'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them tonight a little bit. The Bible is such an amazing book. The more I read the Bible, the more I obey the Bible, the more alive the Bible becomes to me. You have to understand, I've been preaching for over 41 years. You'd think you'd learn it all. And every time I read the Bible, I learn something. It truly is the living, life-giving, eternally present words of God. There's no end to the vastness of truth in those pages. None. You'll laugh. I was thinking of this earlier. It's kind of like a few years ago, I had a garden, and before we moved into our new house, and I planted kale one year. My dad's laughing already. I had a patch of kale about as long as this platform is wide here. But I put two packs of kale seeds in there. I had never grown it before. It started growing, and it started growing, and it started growing. I had kale plants that high, and every time I picked it, it came back double. I'm not kidding. We had enough kale for the neighborhood. My dad haunted a couple little diners, and he said, "Y'all need any kale?" They said, "Yeah." He said, "How much you need?" They said, "Well, as much as you bring." You know those 50-gallon trash bags? I picked two of those and gave them to him, and they took them, and they said, you wouldn't believe it. I gave away six of those total, on top of feeding everybody that I could feed with that stuff. And I finally said, "That's enough," and cut it all down. It didn't stop, okay? That's kind of like the Bible. The more you pick it, the more it grows. The more you read it, and the more you learn, and the more you live, the more it grows. Let me shift by saying this. Mankind is so wrapped up in itself. Today, it seems like that all life is about is me, mine, mine, and what can I get out of something. We live in a selfish world. We live in a world that wants to be served and does not want to serve. I'm not going to criticize. This is not meant to be critical. So if you know somebody like this, I am not criticizing them. But you'll notice there's not parking spots out here for the preacher and the assistant pastor and the secretary. You say, why is that? Because we're supposed to serve, not be served. You'll notice on my truck's always parked out in the back 40. Say, why is that? Because I'm supposed to serve, not be served. Now, when I come on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, I've got Miss Wally, you know, we've got the car. I'll park up here for her. But if I know we're going to have big service, I'll drop them off and go park the car in the back 40. Doesn't bother me a bit. Say, why is that? I am not here. I'm not here to get my name on a parking spot. Whoopee. It's a parking spot. I know people that have almost lost their lives over a parking spot. You see, we have this mentality that we're to be served as we go up the chain. Well, according to Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, and Mark chapter 10, 24, God says the greatest of you shall be servants. And God says the more you grow in greatness, the more you serve, not the more you are served. That means positionally as well as a character trait. Now, by God's definition, the more you move up in leadership, the more serving you are supposed to do. You love me for now, but hang on. You're not to be served. You're to be serving. The more you lead, the more you're to serve. We humans have it totally turned around backwards. We think the more we move up, the more people do for us. The more you do for them. As a Christian, we have to be careful not to get too stressed or distressed with worldly leadership. Everybody look at me for a second here. This statement is not anything that's profound, but if you get a hold of it, it sure will help you in life. You cannot expect lost people to lead you the way God tells you to be led. So quit getting worried about it. Quit judging your boss for not leading you scripturally. They're lost. They're not able to lead biblically, so to speak. It shouldn't bother you that if you work for somebody that's lost, that they lead like a lost person. Everybody doing okay? I know many Christians that go to work and get bummed out because they work for a lost. I've worked for many a lost people. Now, some of them I got to win to the Lord, and that was a lot of fun. Why do we get so upset when lost people act like or lead like lost people? God wants his people, his children, Christians, more concerned about how they serve leadership than how they are served. God wants we Christians more concerned about how we serve the bosses for whom we work more than how we're led by those bosses. Too many of us get concerned about how we're led and not how we're serving. Ouch. Here in Colossians chapter 3, God gives us some instruction that we all need. Now, listen to this very carefully here. Look at verse number 17 with me. Now, I want you to notice some words, and I might have you say them out loud, or you might mark them in your Bible. And whatsoever, now everybody look at me, does that mean only spiritual things? That means anything, right? Whatsoever means, it's like whosoever. That means anybody, right? And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do how much? All in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now notice something. God said, whatever you do, whether it's by your word or by your action, by deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Now watch this. You have to understand something. Look at verse 23. And whatsoever, there's that word again, you do. Do it heartily. That means with all your heart. Do it with all your emotion. Do it with all your fervor. as unto the Lord and not unto men. Ooh. Here's the problem. Too many of us say, well, my boss is lost, so I don't have to give my all. Not true. That's disobedience to the Word of God. Well, I don't have the best of situations, preacher. Doesn't matter. God says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Maybe if you'd start learning to serve at work or serve at school as a student or do the things that you do in life as to the Lord and not worry about how you're treated, maybe they would in turn do some things for you. Amen. Now, let me give you, I think, five or six things here that I have tonight. Five things that I want to give you tonight that'll help you. I want you to notice something here in Colossians 3. When God addresses us here in Colossians 3, He addresses us as followers and then leaders. Notice something, verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Verse 19, husbands, submit yourselves or love your wives and be not bitter against them. Verse 20, children, obey. 21, fathers, provoke not. 22, servants, obey in all things your masters. Notice he's talking to us as followers and not leaders. 9 years ago, when God told me it was time to start Grace Baptist Church, I had been an assistant pastor for 23 and a half years. I was comfortable being an assistant pastor. Honestly, I thought I would spend my entire life in ministry as an assistant pastor. I always said God's going to have to use a stick of dynamite to blow me out of the assistant pastorate into the pastorate. Well, he used a case of C4. Trust me, he did. Boom, obliteration, amen? And it's okay. It was the easiest, most natural change that we've had in our entire ministry. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I'm having too much fun. It ought not be legal to have this much fun. But may I say something? I told the Lord if I was going to do this, I remember exactly where I was at. I was in a hotel in Clifton, New Jersey area, and I had been preaching. I had a pastor there that was getting ready. He had an envelope. He had it approved by his church and his deacon board to offer me a job to go work for him. And he said, Brother Bush, he said, you'd be my first full-time assistant pastor that I've hired. He said, but I believe God wants you to go start a church. I looked at him as affectionately as I knew how and said, what are you smoking? I said, what are you talking? He said, no. He said, I have it right here. I said, I've got your salary approved. Here's what it would be. And I'm thinking, man, I haven't had a paycheck in 2 months. And I had been toying with the idea, but I didn't tell anybody. I went and I preached again, got back to my hotel room. I called my wife. She called me. She said, honey, she said, the pastor preached this morning. It had nothing to do with it, but I went to the altar and I finally said, okay, God, if you want him to pastor, I'll do it. I said, you said what? And I told her what happened to me. She said, well, what's that mean? I said, I guess that means we're starting a church. I got to go preach again. I left. We came back. And I said, I don't even know what to do. But we're going to do it. And the next Sunday, we started Grace Baptist Church. Say, well, you mean in 7 days? No, in 6 days. It wasn't seven. It was six. Yeah, we did a lot of work in 6 days, let me tell you. But I remember saying to God, I said, God, I don't know how to pastor, but I know how to be an assistant pastor. If you'll pastor the church, I'll be your assistant. And for 9 years, that's what we've been doing around here. You've heard me say, God's pastor and not me. I'm just his assistant. It might say pastor in title on the piece of paper, but he's in charge, not me. I want you to notice something. Number one, all we do needs to be for God. And whatsoever you do, Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. That means this. Boys and girls, your schoolwork ought to be done as though you're doing it for the Lord. You ought not complain about your schoolwork. You ought to do it as though you're doing it for Jesus. Everybody doing all right? Isn't that what God said? And whatsoever you do. That means doing your chores at home, mowing the grass, cleaning, doing the dishes, picking up clothes, doing the laundry, all that kind of stuff. We're supposed to do that as to the Lord. Pulling weeds, we ought to do it as to the Lord. It's our fault that there's weeds anyway. We sinned. Man, I hate pulling weeds. Every time I pull weeds, I get mad at Adam. I'm going to choke him one of these days. That means this. No matter what you do, by the way, that means when you go to work tomorrow morning, you ought to do it as to the Lord, not unto your boss. Now we went to meddling, didn't we? Man, that sounded like a suicide attempt that went bad. Oh, that means this. No matter who you follow, you should let God be the leader, not them. Be careful before you get too upset with your boss. You're not supposed to be doing it for him. You're supposed to be doing it for God. Amen. Maybe you'd have less conflict at work if you'd quit doing it for him and doing it for God. You see, as a Christian, you serve and follow the leader as though it were God. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let me show you what God says about it. Romans 13, verse number 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Wow. That means this: if you have a boss, his power is ordained of God. Is that not what it says? Because he said all powers are ordained of God. Boys and girls, you ought to obey your mom and dad as though they're God. I'm not saying they're God. They're not. But we ought to obey them because their power came from God. By the way, that's exactly what God said. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me read verse number 17 to you. Hebrews 13, verse number 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you." Guess what? God says, obey them that have the rule over you. It does not say only obey the saved that have the rule over you. I'm glad my parents taught me to obey all the leadership and not just my mommy and daddy. I remember as a child going to school and going to a parent-teacher night, and my dad or my mom talking to the teacher, "How does he behave?" "Oh, he behaves fine." And I would hear my dad say, "Well, I want to know if he doesn't, because if he gets in trouble at school, he's going to get in trouble at home." That was never fair to me. He never understood that. But it did keep me in line a little better at school, I promise you, because when Dad said it, it was going to happen, amen. You're going to have a Board of Education meeting, and it was going to be applied to the seat of knowledge. And he wasn't afraid of it. You got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home. Say why? Because he was teaching me when he wasn't there and I was at school, that teacher had the same authority as he had. Amen. And if I disobeyed that teacher, I was disobeying him, and look out. I was glad that when I started working secularly at the age of 16, that my dad showed up and told my boss, "If he doesn't work, fire him." I remember that. He walked into the restaurant and I thought, "Man, what's my dad doing here? He's telling my boss to fire me. I don't do that. I just got this job, man." You say, what was that? Because I was supposed to obey my boss as though that was my dad. I'm glad that when a police officer, when I started driving, my dad taught me how to handle myself when a police officer pulls you over. It's not a matter of if, you're going to get pulled over one of these days for one thing or another. Even if it's a sobriety check, amen, Miss Leanne? Don't ask her to walk a straight line. You deserve that one. She texted me one Sunday night after church, "We got stopped at a sobriety check. Please pray they don't make me walk a straight line." I was dying. It was too funny. Can I tell you something? We're not to serve them as them. We're to serve them as God. My dad told me, he said, look, put your hands on the steering wheel, roll the window down, keep your hands where you can see them, and whatever they tell you, do. If they jerk you out of the car and put the handcuffs on, we'll deal with it in court later. Don't worry about it. I'd rather deal with it in court than have to pick you up at the morgue. Well, that made a lot of sense to me. I'd rather him pick me up at jail too, rather than being carried. What is the old statement? Rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. There's a lot of wisdom in that statement. Now, your leader is not God, but you should serve them as though they were God and as God appointed them to be. Notice, I want you to notice again, Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That means this: give your all. Give your best. Maybe if you gave your boss your best, maybe you would see your boss in a different light. Please don't take this the wrong way. I only worked secularly for about 7, 8 years total. But a little over 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago, you watched a man that was about 6'9" stand right here, weighs about 340, 350 pounds, a man named Stuart McMillan for Task Force Tips Innovations. I worked for Stuart when I was in Bible college. I have a letter sitting in my desk. Stuart's now sold the company and retired and done with it. In my office, I have a letter that states, Craig, I had a bunch of people clean my office out and they brought boxes of letters. He said, my wife and I went through these. He said, I threw them all away except most of yours. He said, not only were the letters important to me, but you have lived a life that I want to remember from people that worked for me. He said, you changed my life as you worked here. I remember the day Stuart got saved. I remember when his wife got saved, and his mother, and his sister, and his brother, 5 millionaires in one service got saved. You say, what was that? Because we learned to work hard and serve them as though they were God. I didn't say serve them as they are God, they're not God. But could it be that that's the reason God used all these years later when our church needed something? God looked ahead and said, one day you're going to need it, son. You better work hard. I wonder if we would have had the blessings that we had I not worked hard in Bible college. I remember one night I was running 3 machines, deburring parts. I was actually running 4 machines. And it was over an area about is not quite as big as the auditorium here. Been a machine there, a machine here, a machine here, and a machine there. Cut out about this third of the auditorium, and I had 4 machines and racks of parts there. And I was going machine to machine to machine to machine, just doing this all night long for 8 hours. And by dinner time, I had already outproduced 3 men that had run those 4 machines during day shift. And I had deburred their parts as well as my parts. Stuart had come down. He said, Craig, let me talk to you. I said, okay, can you walk with me? He said, what do you mean? I said, I got to keep these machines running. And I'd go over to this machine. He's talking. I go over to that machine. I go to this. He said, Craig, I want to talk to you. I said, keep talking. I can hear you. He grabbed me. He said, stop. Yes, sir. He said, I've already looked at your parts counts. He said, you work harder than 3 men. He said, I'm going to give you $1 an hour raise, retroactive 2 weeks ago. I said, let's talk. You say, what was that? I worked hard. He said, why are you working so hard? I said, make you money. I said, the more money you make, better chance I have of keep working here so I can pay my bills, get through Bible college, and get in the ministry. He said, man, I wish everybody understood that. Can you teach everybody else that? Every Friday night, we had Bible study at dinner time. We had a lot of coworkers saved. Who started it? Stuart. I wonder why that worked, because I wasn't serving him as a person, but I was doing it as though I was working for the Lord. That's what God's asking you to do here. Boy, that's good stuff. You make God happy when you serve all leaders as though you were serving him. You want to make God happy? Make your boss happy. You want to make God happy? Make your parents happy. You want to make God happy? Make your spouse happy. That's what God says. Now, number two, are you ready? Now we're going to go from preaching to meddling real fast. God said wives should submit to their husbands. Look at verse number 18. I know this isn't popular these days, but hang on. Wives, submit yourselves unto your, what's the next word? Own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Now look at me. God didn't say submit to your safe, spiritual, godly leading husband. God said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. The word submit does not mean slave. The word submit literally means follow. Follow. Obey. Okay, I love you, but hang on. Ladies, God says submit to your own husband. That means this. You ought to submit to your husband better than you do your boss. Maybe you wouldn't have quite as much trouble in the marriage if your husband thought you submitted to him as much as you do your boss. There's times we have ladies in our church, their husbands are lost. They'll come to me and they love me dearly. And they'll say, preacher, how do I win my husband? I said, about once every month, say something negative about me to your husband. They'll look at me. And I'll say, if you're not careful, you'll talk too positively of me and not of him. He needs to know the preacher's not perfect. So tell him how you don't like me getting loud, or I'm preaching too long, or I pound the pulpit, or I do something. Just something that he could relate to. And by the way, you'd be surprised how many men I've been able to go in, win them to the Lord, and get them in church over that. Say, why was that? Because that man could look at me and say, well, you have more of my wife's affection and attention than I do, and I'll put a wall up because I want nothing to do with you, dude. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Submit does not mean be a slave. It means follow his leadership. Ladies, that means this. When you disagree with him and he puts his foot down, let him put his foot down even though it's in a cow pie. Let him slip in it. You warned him. It's his fault. Did I say that nice enough? I was trying really hard. All right. Oh, unmistakable feel. Should ought not have done that. And then don't look at him and say, I told you. Okay, that's not submitting. Wives who submit have a greater input with their husbands than those that force their way on their husbands. I mean that. Now, I've been around some strong ladies in my life, just a few. Can I tell you something? I don't have troubles with them. Now, every once in a while, I got to whack a little harder than I would with others, but they just want to know somebody's going to lead them. You know, every once in a while, you got to, yeah, it's all right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Step back. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't take that offensively. Oh, the story's going through my head right now. We had a lady on staff when I worked for Brother Hiles. I won't give her name because there's about three or four people in this room that would know it. But she would help with Brother Hiles' wedding rehearsals. She was known to be fairly strong-willed. And boy, she was ordering people around and do. And I was in the wedding and I came down and she said, now, we need you to do this. And we got down to the front aisle and I got down there and I went. And she said, now, Brother Bush, am I being like that? I said, no. She said, I'll try harder if you don't do that. I said, deal. That's all I did. Everybody got a good laugh. She came to me afterwards, tears running down her face. She said, Brother Bush, I didn't mean to be that way. I said, I know you didn't. But I wanted you to know you were getting a little too close to the line and your foot was over the edge. She said, thank you for making it enjoyable for everybody. I said, I didn't enjoy doing it. She said, I saw the tear in your eye. She said, I know you didn't. She said, thank you, though. She knew I cared about her. I didn't want her hurting her own reputation. She didn't hear the talk amongst the men in the wedding party. She didn't know how she was about to hurt herself. And that's what I told her. She said, I need you to help keep me in line. Maybe next time, not that way. I said, we'll see. By the way, she's just an amazing lady. She was strong enough to take it. She didn't like it. But may I say something? You don't have to be mean and cruel. I didn't demand that she follow me. She was the leader in that situation, not me. But she was getting a little bossy, and it was time to back bossy up a little bit. And we did. Can I tell you something? The word submit is not a bad word. Maybe if wives would submit to husbands, husbands may listen to their influence a little bit more. You know, men, you know what I'm talking about. Your GPS, if you have it set to that woman, you want to get mad every time she tells you what to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You just don't like it. Maybe we ought to learn to submit a little better, ladies. Men, God tells us next, you ready? Ladies, get your elbows ready. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. God then says, ladies, you are to submit to your husbands, but husbands, love your wives. That means this. Love is not how you are treated. It's how you treat her. Love is an action word. And it's one that is given, not one that is gotten. Maybe if you'd quit worrying about what you get and start concerning yourself what you give her, maybe you'd get a little more of what you want without even asking for it. God says we're not to get bitter with her if you don't get treated the way you want. Men are a bunch of babies. If we don't get what we want, we go suck our thumb and have a pity party. Yeah, I know. I'm preaching right at us. Amen. I was talking to, I won't tell you what lady, but her husband's not been well. I was talking to her this morning. And she said, if I go home and he's a baby, I'm sending him to your house. I said, good, I'm leaving for 3 days. Have him sit on the deck for all I care. I'm not going to be there. She said, he's such a big baby. I said, every man is. Get over it. But men, if they don't get what they want, they'll pout. Or they'll make it hard on everybody. They'll cause strife and bitterness. Ouch. God says that we're to love. That means agape love. That means love as though God does. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sir, how about you love her as God loved you? How about you treat her the way God treats you? God does not love only when he gets what he wants from us. God does not show compassion and love for us only when we do what he wants. Now, God says if we keep his commandments, we show that we love him. 1 John 4:19. If you love me, keep my commandments. But my Bible also says, but God commandeth his love toward us. Huh. If we love as we should, then maybe they'll love us the way we want them to love us one day. I'll not use a name. There's only one person in this room that would know the name, and I doubt my wife would even remember the name. But in one of the churches we worked, there was a very good man. He taught Sunday school, and he worked bus routes. He worked teen church with me, and just a good man. But his wife was a bitter crab. And I mean miserable. She had two teenage boys, and she turned those boys against her dad and tried to turn them against God. She was a saved lady, but she got bitter. angry. Her face would contort. She'd come to church and just sit there the whole time. I mean, you didn't want to look at her when you were preaching because you get mad kind of person, you know? If you wanted to work up a lather, you looked at her and said, here we go. One of those kind of faces, you know? She was bitter and angry. And I would watch that man pray for his wife. Watch that man come to my office and say, "Preacher, Brother Bush, I know my wife's been hard on you for the kids, but would you just love her? She's angry, she's bitter, and she's bitter with God. I love her, and I need you to love her so that we can love her back to God. The only way I'm going to get her back to God is if we love her there." And I watched that man go through hell for about 6 or 7 years like that. I mean, we're not talking weeks, we're talking 6 or 7 years. 15 years later, I got a phone call from him. He said, "Brother Bush, my wife got right with God. Everything's going good." I met her years later, smile on her face. I didn't even recognize her. I'd never seen the woman smile. Took 15 years. That man loved on that woman when, as my dad would say, I'd have smacked her upside the head with a 2x2. And honestly, she probably deserved it frequently. But I watched that man love her and love her and love her. That's what God's talking about here. Give her what she needs and don't worry about what you get in return. God wants us more concerned about what we love than how we get loved. Number 3, are you ready? Look at verse number 20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." That means when mom and dad tell you to clean your room, you're supposed to obey. It says in all things. That means not just throw everything under the bed and pull the bed cover over it so nobody sees it. Or open up the closet and toss it all in and shove it in the door and hopefully the door holds tight. God says that you're supposed to obey mom and dad as though you're obeying God. That means when they tell you to do your homework, you don't say, "Why? Oh man, you only did that once at my house." Why was not a good question at those times. It was yes, and then later after you got it done, why did I have to do it then? Everybody doing all right? That's what Ephesians 6:1 is all about. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Wait a minute, that honoring father and mother comes after you're an adult. But children are to obey. I detest this world that everything is about the child. My Bible says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Say, what's the best thing I can teach my children, preacher? 2 things: to love God and work hard.
Amen.
Teach them respect. They'll go far in life.
Amen.
Not everything is about, by the way, children are not slaves either.
That's right.
But we're to teach them how to live. We're to teach them to work hard, yes. But instead of ordering them, go out there and do it with them.
Amen.
Man, when we worked hard. But when we played hard. My dad, he helped coach baseball for my teams every once in a while. But I remember we split wood. I don't know how many cords of wood I split as a kid. Then my dad, rotten to the core as he can be, he got a hold of this stuff called ironwood. He didn't tell me about it. He puts a piece of oak on there that's been dried out. Thump, pop, thump, pop. I said, "Well, let me try that, Pop." He puts a piece of that ironwood up there and thud bounce, thud bounce. It'd fall off and he'd pick up another piece of oak and pop. "What's the matter with you?" "Man, I wore out 2 chisels and a sledgehammer on that stuff. You couldn't split that stuff." Then I left for college and found out they had something called a log splitter. I came back and I said, "Dad, what's this thing?" He said, "It's a log splitter." I said, "When they... Where'd you get? He said, I'm borrowing it from a guy. I said, this must be new. He said, no, they've been around forever. I said, how come we had to do? He said, I fed two log splitters. Yeah. I got you, but I learned how to work.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? God says that children are to obey their parents in all things. It doesn't say just obey godly parents. We're to teach our bus kids to obey their parents. A child with lost parents who obeys is more likely to see their parents get saved than a child who disobeys his lost parents. Children are to obey their parents better than any other adult. That pleases God. Matter of fact, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, you'll live longer. Trust me, if you had my dad, you'd understand that statement really well. I don't know how many times I've heard this statement. I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Now, my dad meant it too, all right? A child who obeys his parents is more apt and more likely to obey God. Did you want to? You want to teach your children how to obey God? Teach them to obey you. Verse 23 says, "Children, you're supposed to do it with all your heart. Don't hate your parents for making you do things. Obey them and enjoy it." I got to hurry. Verse number 21. Hang on. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Men, we as leaders are not to provoke our children to wrath, to anger. That word provoke means to incite or deliberately make or to stimulate them to get angry. You know how to push buttons. Men are real good at pushing buttons. A few years ago, I preached a sermon, don't poke the bear, amen? You poke that bear long enough, it's going to bite. And be careful that you don't provoke your children to anger. But wait a minute, I'm not saying that a child's never going to get angry over something that they need corrected for. And anger is something that is not a bad thing if it's under control, but you got to teach a child how to control it. But dads are not supposed to purposely get children mad just to get what he wants out of them. Now, just because a child gets mad doesn't mean they shouldn't do what they're supposed to do. If they throw a fit over the fact that they got to take the trash out, my dad had a solution for that. Go ahead, throw your fit. Come here, let's take a whooping, and then you can take the trash out. You choose, with or without it. He didn't get mad. You choose. But if you're going to throw a fit about it, I'm going to give you something to throw a fit about. And he'd throw a fit. And I took the trash out. And it didn't matter how many powwows we had. He had more pows. Trust me. I wasn't going to wear him down. Might as well do this and get it over with. You know, if you teach children to do that, they're less. By the way, that's keeping anger under control. And I wouldn't give you 2 cents for somebody that couldn't lose their temper, but they ought not do it. They ought to do it at the right things. Everybody doing all right? Just because a child gets angry doesn't mean they shouldn't do something. That's what the world teaches. Well, they don't want to do it right now. So? Shoot. I never had that option. But that means this, man, we ought not react emotionally to their emotional reaction to us. I watch parents and kids get in a screaming match, and you wonder where the kid learned it? Look in the mirror. Well, I just don't think it will warp their psyche. Well, Dad never called it a psyche, but he warped it. Men need to keep their promises to their children. Don't promise your child to do something and then don't do it and cause them to get hurt by it. I believe if you promise your children you're going to do something, you ought to do everything you can to keep your promise. You're looking at a man that was very busy. You're looking at a man that dealt with a lot of tragedy and a lot of emergencies. But it was very rare I ever had to break a promise to one of my children. Very rare. And if I ever did have to, I made up for it with something bigger than what they were disappointed about. Say why? Now, I didn't make tons of promises either. I didn't say, well, I promise you we're going to do this. Not wait till the millennium to do it. So, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Have you noticed what God says here? Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Fathers, provoke not. Now, verse 22. Now it's really going to hurt. Servants, employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Will you allow me a little deviation of scripture? That word, that term, not with eye service as men pleasers, that means don't be a suck up. Amen. Don't be a brown noser. Don't do things just so the boss can see you so you can get a better position. That's what God's saying there. But God says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the what? Flesh. He didn't say the spirit, he said the flesh. That's your boss. Okay, we're meddling. It didn't say obey your saved boss. It didn't say obey your good boss. He said obey your master in all things. He didn't say do what you do like and don't do what you dislike. He said obey in all things. You know, I didn't, as much as I like Stuart McMillan, I didn't like all the jobs I had to do. We ran CNC lathes. We had the old blue coolant. And you guys have been in a machine shop, know what I'm talking about. It's an animal fat based coolant with water. And it's really cool when it comes out and it's fresh and it's new. It smelled real good. But you run that thing in a machine for about 3 or 4 weeks in 100 degree, 120 degree weather. And imagine rotten animal fat that's been just churned for 16 hours a day in the heat, spraying on parts. And it's full of bacteria. And you got metal chips flying off and you got cuts. And you didn't go home from work without infected hands from chips and stuff and getting that coolant all over you. And because I was the little guy in the shop, guess who got to clean out machines? So you'd have the fork truck come over. You pull the conveyor belt out from underneath that thing, have the machine shut down. And they had what they called the sump sucker. It was a 55-gallon drum with a pump in it, and you'd put that thing down there and pump that stuff out. Well, the farther down in that well you got, the stinkier and nastier and slimier it got. Well, there's only so much it could do, and then you had to get in there with a tiny little shovel and crawl in that machine and pull out all those chips that had gone on the outside edges of the conveyor belt and all these little wells back in there. And guess who got that wonderful job? I'd spend 3 to 4 hours in each machine doing that. I could clean 2 machines in a night. Then, after you get that done, then you got to fill it up with water and run bacteria killer through it for about 30 minutes. Suck all that out. Then you had to put a conveyor back in. And then you had to fill it all full of new coolant, 5-gallon bucket at a time. You think I enjoyed crawling around in that nasty stuff? You'd come out like you got hit with a bucket of snot that smelled worse than anything you could imagine. Now, wait a minute. I didn't always enjoy that job, but can I tell you something? It paid my college bill. I never complained. And because I didn't complain, God blessed. Maybe we ought to obey in all things, even the things we dislike. Boy, that's good stuff. So much I want to say, I've got to quit here, but we've been educated to believe that the wealthy are bad people. That's not true. Money can corrupt people, but money reveals the character of people. You know the character of a person when they're both ends financially, at the top or the bottom. Have you ever noticed that the most corruption is where there is poverty and where there is elite wealth? Yeah. But I know many wealthy people that are good people. And as I've said before, poor people don't hire anybody. You better thank God. God says, make unto yourselves friends of the mammon of this world. Why? Because you're going to need it one day. We should obey our boss in all things. If you're not the boss, learn to obey. Maybe if you'd obey him, one day if you're the boss, you'll have people that obey you. Trouble is, too many people work by themselves and can't work for somebody. Ouch. You don't see everything your boss sees. You don't know the complexities of the job. Quit thinking, you know, the guy that flips burgers at McDonald's does not know how to run the McDonald's Corporation. The ding-dong that pushes the French fryer button at the restaurant has no idea how to run the restaurant. Doesn't work that way. Now, I think they ought to be able to push the French fryer button and flip the burgers and do all the different things. Yes, I do. And even get an order right from time to time. But maybe more bosses would get saved if more Christians would obey their bosses. And if we worked for our boss as unto the Lord and not unto men, and not let people criticize the boss around us, and we would support the boss, maybe we would see our ability to work and improve at work increase, and maybe God would help us reach our boss. Now, you want to learn how to get along with people? Colossians 3 teaches us. You serve. You want to move up in God's eyes? Learn to serve. How do you serve? God tells us for wives to serve their husbands, and husbands to serve their wives, children to serve their parents, and servants to obey, or servants at work. Hey, that's God's recipe. How about we follow it? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.